Dear Savior, I love the way you share Osho with us. It knocks my socks off completely, showing me a huge longing for a master like you. I have to knock your socks off, Prashanti. That's how it starts. First the shoes, then the socks, then the legs that you don't have anything to stand on, then last, head. That's what the master is there for. Showing me a huge longing for a master like you. You already have sannyas, you are. Then what are you longing for? If you have something there available, then you are not longing then. The masters are available, but are you available? That's the question, no? But that's, the master is used to that. So normally it has to go step by step. At least now we are halfway. Shoes are gone, socks is gone, no? Yes, I know I took sannyas again by your grace. You were Osho, had sannyas from Osho before? After I left his body. Yeah. So you were seeking then. You had a connection then. Then now jump into it. It's happening now. Yes, I know I took sannyas again by your grace, but there is still ego in my way to surrender completely to you. That is normal, no? If ego cannot surrender, that's how it is. Just like the socks. If the socks are on, you cannot feel that nice moss, wet moss walking on that. It has a totally different feeling than to go with boots on moss, no? Just like that, this with master also. You can have your armor on, or you can have no armor. It makes the whole difference in the world. Osho is showing me in many ways that I should stay at your feet. Why is this ego so stubborn? I want to melt in your love as you did in yours, Osho. Then, what is holding you back? Nervous. Not nervous. It's available. If the tiramisu is in front of you, you have ordered it, and you are sitting, and you see also people's faces that they have tasted. Wow, this is good. Then why nervous? You can't be nervous, you just eat. Just like that. But it is happening. It is happening. You are here, no? You are melting, you are seeing. Like you say, it knocks your socks off completely. It is working. You have to be patient, be happy for what is happening, no? For what you feel, what you see, what you realize. Don't be hard on yourself. That is the first. You have been enough hard. Everybody is so hard with themselves. Enough. I never met Osho when he was in a body this last time, but I have met him anyway. For some years, I unfortunately thought I saw this man and I felt him because I was psychotic or something, like my grandmother. I have always been told I was like her. She was beautiful, humorous, and mad, manic depressive, or weak nerves, like they said in those days. Nowadays, this madness is named bipolar or ADHD. ADHD. Probably only different fashions of describing sensitivity when not taken care of and not understanding it for what it is. Isn't it only mind that is sick, though? Yes, it's only mind that is sick. Because when the mind is gone, then what is the problem? When the socks is gone, head is gone, what is the problem? Happy. Then they can call you whatever you want then. Who cares? But everybody is fed that you have to be like this and this. This is normal in the society. No fun. No fun. Everybody same. Very boring. Little bit different. Problem. Then go to the shrink, the psychiatrist, and try to become normal again so you fit in. Any intelligent person has problem to do that. That's why you are here. You have problem to fit in. And then it gives you more courage and understanding. I'm not alone. Mostly people are all normal. Just very, very shallow on the surface. Anything you do out of that little box, that little square, then, oh my God, did you see that? It's no wonder you are nervous, that people are tense. All the time on guard. That is part of the courage. You have to stand up for yourself. Don't care what people think or what they say. Yes, of course you have to behave. Society has its own rules. But don't think that that is you. It's like you going and do a theater play. Then you put up, oh, today I'm Cleopatra. When you go home, you're not Cleopatra, no? then you just watch Sex in the City, then. Relax. Don't be so hard on yourself. So you can do the games. Don't make a fool out of yourself. But relax. This is not you. It's only the mind that is sick. And when you have this also, some people are more sensitive. And they get even more depressed and sensitive when they are forced to be something else that nobody can relate to them. Because all the time behaving in a certain way, no fun at all. It seems like to grow up, then it's not allowed to have any fun anymore. And still they smile and say, everything is fine. Just find the right husband or the wife and everything will be fine. But no, you know it, that's not how it works. you have to come back to yourself. If people are more sensitive, of course they have problems, because we, how the world and the society is very unnatural now. Yeah, just living in the cities, hardly see, never even feeling the grass under your feet anymore. Never seeing the sunrise or the sunset, because it's always light anyway, even if it's 1 o'clock in the night. Everything is out of balance. So it's no wonder humans are out of balance. It's not natural. Anywhere you look is not natural. Ego uses this boost of fear, of madness. That's why I want to write about it. So now I need a boost of trust in you and trust in me, that when I feel you working together with Osho, it is true, not the fairy tale that I'm just dreaming of. Yes, it's true. It's true. It's almost too good to be true, but it's true. Hallelujah. Yes. That's the thing. It's almost too good to be true, so you can't believe it. No, you have to believe it. You have to realize it's true. And this whole last summer retreat was so fantastic for our whole family. Now I'm clinging to that memory, but it helps my trust. Here comes a short version of it. Yes. Yes. And after all this, now this nagging bitch in me is telling me that I'm useless and this letter is much too long. Who cares about the bitch? Who cares about the bitch? Only bitches. If you are a queen, you don't care about the bitch. They belong in the gutter. You don't go there, you live in the palace. Then who cares? Let the bitch say what they want. Bitches has to say. They have to talk like bitches do. Nothing wrong with that. God bless the bitch. But you have nothing to do with that. If you don't want to go and play with the bitches. That just takes a little awareness. If you have no awareness, then you end up anywhere, even with the bitches, in the red light district in Amsterdam. No, this nagging bitch is in me is telling me that I'm useless and this letter is much too long. Can't you kick her out? Why you have a bitch living in you? What happened? It sticks, no?
She's very sticky.
Yeah, I know how these bitches are. You have to stand up for yourself. And that's what Osho said, sometimes it's like tearing off your own skin. In the beginning, you have no idea, here, oh look. Like when I'm talking about cooking, here. And then when you are cooking, then ooh. What to do? This is how it is. So it's sticky. So first you have to recognize it and stand up for it. Because she has nothing to do with you. She is maybe a good challenge to Himat for me. She's killing me. Poor Jan Himat, he takes so good care, just get that bitch out and then it will be fine. And Himat, you have, You have to help me also. We have to help her now, no? Me and you and Osho will help, okay? Then she, when she's getting like serious, you remember what the master said, just relax. Then you can tickle her a little bit. Then it's not he tickling, then you get angry, but then it's me tickling. I just want to tell her that Prashanti is in charge now. I will continue to write as long as I want. Yes. Just do it. Just do it. Just get it, I'll stand up and don't listen to the beat. No. All the power to you. You see, just stand, take one step, we're going to do it, no problem. It is like that, the more you stand up for yourself, which is the only way to come back, the more you open yourself, the more humble you become, the more truthful you become, then everything can be given to you. You cannot be given anything if you're not open and receptive and humble. It's impossible. So first, the ego is very hard. The whole process is to soften. If it is a China wall, nothing can come in. That is the ego. Doesn't help if Bodhidharma or Jesus is on the other side of the wall. You have to get the wall down. That nothing you can do, it's just an understanding that happens. That's what's happened here. Boots goes, socks goes, head goes, heart opens. Heart cannot open before these things are gone. Beloved Master, the last 2 weeks before this retreat, my heart was closing. Worldly problems of finance and other things and worries was closing my heart. And now, being here only 3 days, I feel my heart is opening again. Thank you, Master. Thank you that you are here. You see, this is how it is. That's how the world is stealing us, Dorji, no? The world with all the problems and all the worries and all the identification. It's not easy. And you have to see this very clearly. It's very difficult to be a sannyasin in the world. It's a great challenge. And that's why I said, no, you should really look at, make it easier. You have already lived in the world, no? No, give yourself as much as possible, no? No, again you saw how you were closing, no? No, only being here some days, then again you feel the heart is opening. Let it be a reminder, no? And what a different life to have a closed or an open heart, no? What a different life. It's priceless. No matter what worldly problems or finance or anything, no? But this is the things that steals our heart, no? And when your heart is happy and free, then you don't care. No money can be worth it, no? Only when the heart getting closed, then all these things becomes very important. But if the heart is alive, then you can never be corrupted. Because you have something that is much more valuable. But because all the heart is very closed, then all this money, power, image, then it becomes very interesting, no? You get involved in it. Many times it's very easy to fall into the swamp, no? It's more difficult to get out. That's why many times I say you have to decide now when you are in satsang, when you are here, when you are in a retreat, when you are in a clear space, then you have to decide, look at your life and make decisions from that open heart, from that clarity. Because again, the mind can come with all its reasons and all the problems, and it will never happen. The mind is there to delay. So you have to take decisions when you are in your truth. Write it down, take notice, and then you do it, you stand up for it in your life. Otherwise, the habit of the mind is so strong, again you fall into the same. Although the distance between you and us feels endless and makes me feel hopeless and helpless, there is also trust and gratefulness for you being here. There's no distance. Just take care of your heart. Do you manage to come to Brazil?
Depends on the operation of Madhu's arm. She has to be operated again.
Okay, cool. I don't know.
No, I want you also. We will see, no? But the main thing, to keep the heart open, no? It's like that. Because then distance doesn't matter. Otherwise, people can even be in satsang and they have closed heart. No, it's like that.
It was only the last 2 weeks for the retreat. All the time I was very connected.
Yeah, I don't have that problem. Okay, but that is history now. I have a question about Jesus coming back on earth in Manhattan in his white robe. You did not finish that story yesterday in satsang. So my mind is wondering what happened. I have to get your mind wondering. Please, can you finish the joke? With love and gratefulness, Dorji. I'm here to finish the joke. And the joke is you. The joke is you. And when you are finished, you get it. Jesus was just an excuse. But I was also thinking about Jesus there standing in his nice white robe in Manhattan. But something else happened. I got so gone that I couldn't talk anything more. But we can't leave him there. But I will tell you that he is not there anymore, so it's no problem. You don't need to worry because we all love him. Because he realized, intelligent, clear man as he is, enlightened man as he is, this is not the place. So don't worry about him. And don't worry about finish the joke. I am going to finish all the jokes and I'm going to... You are the joke and I'm here to finish you. Okay. But since now, both Prashanti and Dorje have brought up Jesus. It is something with Jesus. Even the black said that Jesus was a black. Because he called everybody brother. And he had no permanent address. And nobody would hire him. And the Jews also said that Jesus was a Jew because he went into his father's business. And he lived at home till he was 33 years old. Hello. Sonny, when are you going to move out? And also, he must have been a Jew because he was sure that his mother was a virgin. And his mother was sure that he was God. It's perfect. But now, I don't know why everybody is so after that poor man. But even the Irish say that he might be an Irish, because he never got married. He never had a steady job. And his very last request was a drink. And the Italians say that he was Italian, because he talked a lot with his hands. And he had a lot of wine with every meal. And he worked in the building trades. Even the Californian says he might come from California, because he never cut his hair. And he walked around barefoot. And he invented the new religion. And there is also proof that Jesus maybe was a Puerto Rican, because his first name was Jesus. And he always had trouble with the law. And his mother didn't know who his father was. So it goes. Poor man. Rest in peace and be careful coming back. There's nothing to do, and there's nowhere to go, and there's nothing I Beloved, so I have a question about meditation. When I'm walking around, eating, dressing, doing any daily chore, I can clearly see I'm not thoughts, I'm not action, I'm not the body. I am that that recognizes, that watches the thought, the action occurring. So recognizing that I'm pure awareness of everything is a very direct experience. Even a thought is not a worry because I can see that I am that that observes the thought. I am that which the thought appears in. When I dream at night, my dreams are very clear, very physical. They are just as detached, detailed, and alive as my waking life. I'm used to this switch between the dream life and the waking life. There is no difference in clarity between the dreaming and the waking life. One difference between the two states is that in the waking life the surroundings look the same and they are always repetitive chores to do, like brushing my teeth. But in the dream life is always a new scenario, a new adventure. Sometimes I consciously wake up in the dream and I know I am in a dream. To be more clear, I wake up in the dream and realize that which I recognize to be myself in reality is now existing in a dream. I have a sense that my dreams are created by my imagination. And that is very good if you wake up and catch yourself that I'm dreaming the dream. That is very good. When I sit down to meditate with my eyes closed, sometimes I see images and faces of people. It is not as clear or as physical as a dream. It is not three-dimensional like my dreams. It is more like seeing snatches of a movie. They are not scenarios I recognize. They are not faces of people I know. It is like watching someone else's life. It's like a movie of an unknown world of different people and places. It feels as if this is occurring in the world of imagination. Can you share about imagination from your experience as a meditator? Much love as always, Chimono. This imagination is not much understood now in the world. It can be very powerful. But people, they don't use that gift in the ways as much as they could, as much as we have been doing. And for the mystics, it has always been part of the different techniques to imagine things. So when you first get hold and recognize that you are responsible for your life, you have so what I would call you have transformed the negative to the positive. Yeah, you are not the slave of the negative influences of the mind, but you are operating more positive. Then you can use your imagination in a positive way, yeah, which is what many people have done and created. Amazing thing. No, they even do that in modern sports, in the Olympics, things like that. They imagine that they run much better than what they do, no? They swim faster. They do better acrobatics. And they do that better afterwards. It's a whole new science that is happening in the scientific world. But that was part of the more the mystic traditions before. No, it's very good because these mystics and the scientific, they're coming closer. Not the religions and the scientific. So that is very good because you have so many different sides of the humans. But this has not, all that disappears in the clarity as the witness. But it can be very helpful on the way, no? Because you use something in your positive creative mind. Like the Tibetans also, they had, and the Taoists and the Sufis, almost all the tradition, they worked, they had different techniques, they worked on the imagination. For example, the Tibetans, they live in a very cold place, no? So they had one meditation called Tumu meditation, where they made themselves very warm. They imagined themselves sweating. And they started sweating. This is a very known, almost like a miracle, when the Westerners saw that first. And they developed that a lot because of the climate. So that was imagination, but you create that because the mind is so powerful that if you really are a master of your mind, then the body has to follow. So the body is more innocent. The body, if you are not conscious enough, then the mind doesn't follow the body, but the body follows the mind. No? And when you go higher, then your mind follows the spirit, and the body follows all. Yeah? So the higher you go, the more the lower follows you. If you are on the lowest, then you are not in touch with the higher. So in that way, imagination can be very powerful. And we are come from all different tribes or situations or paths in the past. So some people might have worked more on that. Maybe you have worked more on that before. So maybe that is coming up again, you know, your the power of imagination. But still it's just mind. All imagination, all mind has to go. But there's nothing wrong with it. It can be helpful at one stage of evolution. All the yogis, like the Tibetans, they made this meditation, they made inner heat, no? They created inner heat. And you can use it the other way also to cool yourself down, which was more necessary for the Sufis or the fakirs in Persia, Afghanistan, or hot places in India. And still they do these things. And they can go into trance and they imagine things, no, that they can do that the body then follows. Or walking on coal, no? That was very famous. I remember when I was in America, I was working. It's just a little taste of it. But why walk on coal? Just any, for what? But to be hot in Tibet, that makes sense. Because they didn't have any heat, no? No, we are so lazy and we have so comfortable lives that we have lost this. Together with many, many, many other things, no? Sensitivity, courage, imagination. It's totally amazing when you start seeing it, but it's all there. I wrote this letter and then I had a thought. Is everything just imagination? Everything we see, everything we experience? Yes, everything is just an imagination, like a dream. Because it all comes from the mind, no? If there is no mind, there is just silence, there is just bliss, there is just peace, no? So in your essence, there is no appearance. So all appearances, that is the physical, no? It belongs to the physical world. So is this is the mystery. It's like it is there, but it's not there. Like we are half physical, half spirit. No? So if you only know the physical, then you will suffer, no, always be in fear. When you know more the spirit world, then you lose that because you are connected with something more eternal in you, no, your essence. That doesn't mean that the physical is not there. It is there, but it is working. It will go also. No? So that's what the mystics have always said, that which disappears is not real. No? That is delusion. It comes and it goes. So find that which is there all the time, no? Which is consciousness, awareness, your essence. And out from that standpoint, there is nothing. No? Then there is no mind, no imagination, no world. Like they say in India, everything is just an illusion. Many parts say, no, nothing is real. And then you throw a rock on their foot, and then they scream, and they say, "Who is screaming then?" It cannot be a mental, it's an inner realization. But even if you have that realization, still you function in the material. So freedom is knowing that you are not that, no? You are not the physical, no? You have realized, you have acknowledged, you have found, you have seen your true self, no? Then that is much better. No? Then you cannot be tempted in all this samsara, no? All the things that is happening. Like Dorje said, his heart got closed. No? That this is the influences. Even when you have felt the essence, it can because the power of habit of the mind is so strong. No? You have to be connected, you have to be strong enough that you nothing influence you anymore. So that is the alchemy from being totally identified with being a body to realize that you are free. No? Freedom living in the body. Like that. Then you live happily. Then you, if imagination is something to play with, you play with that, no? But truth, you know, reality is beyond all appearance. There's so much beautiful things that we have forgotten because we don't need to use it anymore because we have so comfortable lives now. But in the inner journey, when you start coming back and meditating and seeing more your own creativity, wisdom, peace, knowledge, then all this will come up again. And whatever you have worked with before, it will also be a time where that comes up. That's why my, you know, like a Mozart, you know, he was a genius. He must have been studying so much before, no? And this is in everybody. It's just that most people, they never go so deep in this life that they remember. And it's not maybe even a remembrance, it can just come up like that, oh, I'm very good at this, or this is very easy for me, or this feels natural, no? And you never had thought about it. It just comes natural, and that is because it's deep there in the memory. is like that. It's pretty strange with this darkness something. It's like I'm looking at the watch and is it 5 or is it 12:30? Then I have to come back to my mind like, oh yeah, must be 5. Beloved Babaji, when you spoke about Osho and his death, I experienced a bigger, deeper silence. That is the closest way I can describe it, and it was very beautiful. I disappeared. When this silence happens, or this let go happens, I many times feel very helpless. The experience itself is a gift, and there is a kind of fear of where this will take me. Is it going deeper, or will I come back in the thoughts? Is it awareness, if I can call it that, that is not strong enough to let me stay in this, since the mind comes back again? Today, when I received the session, then a bigger space of silence again came, but I found myself falling asleep as if the awareness that is not strong enough. Is that the awareness that is not strong enough? Before I got attached to the space and I was trying to control it, wanting it to stay, but that I don't feel is the question now. But more a curious question, what is happening? Why the mind or sleep is coming back? Can you talk a bit about awareness or what keeps us here in the moment? When you left satsang, I started to cry in gratitude, in love. I love you, yours, Jaitan. That is what the Master is there for. To show you the art of disappearing. I remember Osho, he had called the whole series The Art of Dying. Like Kabir said, if this is dying, then let me die 1,000 times. But of course you are afraid till the dying has happened. When the dying has happened, what is there to be afraid of? It's already, you are dead. When there is any chance of survival, then you will be afraid. The ego will. You say, when you spoke about Osho and his death, I experienced a bigger, deeper silence. And that again is what the Master is doing. When you are in tune with the Guru, then you get influence, you come into his energy, no? That is what is being in synchronicity, being in tune, being in love. Then you disappear into the other. That's what happened. No? That's what's happening here. Then you can get the taste of that. I experienced a bigger, deeper silence. That is the closest way I can describe it. And it was very, very beautiful. That's why they always have said that love, that, and the Guru, only there you can get a taste of disappearing. But who have really tasted that love? Because you are holding back. But love is also a melting. That's why they said that the Guru, the Master, is the greatest love affair. Because there you can really disappear. In that also you disappear. But if you are not conscious, then it will be an unconscious that. So now you had a taste of disappearing. That is a conscious that. And it was very, very beautiful, you said. That's what I'm giving you. You start, something in you start taking notice that is very, very beautiful. That which everybody is afraid of, to disappear. When you disappear, it's only beauty, it's only peace. I disappeared. And it can only happen when you disappear. Otherwise, it cannot happen. Either you are there or God is there. That's what you tasted. No, you fell in tune with me. You felt that space. I invited you into that. Then you disappeared and it was very, very beautiful. Now something in your heart, in your soul, will be, ah, it's possible. When the silence happens, or this let go happens, I many times very helpless. Of course you are helpless. That is what surrender is. The mind cannot figure it out. No, it's the mind trying to figure it out. It can never figure it out because the mind is always on guard. So, that's how it happens. I trick you. That's why I say I'm very tricky. I trick you. The mind doesn't understand, but something happens. Then the mind tries to understand after. The mind will never allow it. That's why the Master said it's impossible. That's why the Bodhidharma said not one in a million makes it without the Master. It's impossible. Because the mind holds you back. But this mystery, it happens. Here, it happened. Because you are in tune, because you are love. Many times I feel very helpless. Yes, and that's what you have to realize, that you are helpless. And then more and more of your arrogance will go. You become more and more humble. And it can only happen when you are totally humble, totally soft, totally receptive, totally trusting, allowing. All these worlds that is totally disappeared from the world. Who has those qualities? And that's why the whole world is in a mess. Why is so much tension? Why there is so much war? Why there is so much conflict? Why there is so much focus on the physical, on the body, on money, on image, on power? Because they don't know their own essence. They don't know the sacred. Then the focus will be on the little things, on the false things, on the temporal things. When you recognize that which is real, then everything falls in place. No, your interest is in reality, not in the false. The experience itself is a gift, and there is a kind of fear of where this will take me. Is it going deeper, or will I come back in the thoughts? That everybody has to experience. I'm not guaranteeing anything. But the fear is normal. The fear will be there till the fear is gone. And if you go on, it will go deeper. And many, many times, you will come back to thoughts, come back to the mind, because the mind is very stubborn. It's been with you very long. But now you have seen something else. So that takes away a lot of power from the mind. So the more you see of the unseen, the less power the mind has with its games. Is it awareness, if I can call it that, not strong enough to let me stay in this since the mind comes back? And this is the mind asking about awareness. This is how tricky the mind is. No, it's the mind that thing, you know, like presenting itself. No, the mind is awareness. That is how your mind is. And it's almost impossible to see through it. No, the mind wants to play safe now. Yeah? Today, when I received the session, in the end, a bigger space of silence came, but then I found myself falling asleep. Is it again the awareness that is not strong enough? The awareness is super strong. This awareness is super strong. Nothing is stronger than the awareness. But it hasn't really come into its place because it's still covered by the mind. It's like that. When I spoke of Osho and shared that space, my space, Osho's space, silent space, your space, essence, then what is stronger? It's not stronger or not stronger, it is. It's just isness. And you cannot do it. That's why it's impossible. Like I thought, you cannot study it, you can catch it in some mysterious way. The awareness is always there. It's just that if the mind, the more the mind is there, the less awareness it is. The whole journey from darkness to light is less and less mind, more and more and more awareness. The less you identified your mind, the more awareness. The more identified with the mind, the less awareness. When that shift has happened from total identification with the mind, with the ego, with the body, when that has shifted, which can only happen by insights, satoris, on the way, more and more this fear, this understanding, this let go happen, that I'm not in control. Then the mind itself is ready to give up. It cannot happen against you. You have to be ready to receive the gift because it will blow all the fuses. In the beginning, when I was with Osho in Pune One, then every night I was sitting in front of him and guarding him, being around him. And every night I came into that space where I felt like I could pop. Enlightenment was just there. But if I had happened, if I let go, I would physically die. Then it took maybe 12 years more for the system to be ready for receiving it. And nothing wrong in dying, but it's okay to go on also. Now we are here. Because you have to have a strong enough stomach to digest it, or strong enough heart to digest it. Otherwise it will blow you away. For an ego, it will blow it to pieces. That's why it's important why they talk about insights and satoris. It's like preparations, being with the master, getting in tune. You're preparing, something is preparing. Then when you are ready enough, then I make you pregnant. I know how it is to be pregnant. That's what the master made me pregnant. But that can only happen if you really love your master, no? If you love it, you want to be married forever, like that. Only then can it happen. It's impossible otherwise. When this silence happens, or this let go happens, I many times feel very helpless. Before, I got attached to the space and I was trying to control it, wanting it to stay. But that I don't feel is the question now, but more a curious question. What is happening? Why the mind or sleep is coming back? It's almost bound to happen like that too. It's many people. And have people around me also who had great insights, satoris, and they're holding on to that. They're all the time talking about that happened 7 years ago. That happened 10 years ago. Like, so what? It was just an insight. And that, the ego takes the experience. It's just a preparation. You have to go deeper. So that is normal. Before, I got attached to this space and I was trying to control it. Yeah, now you have gone deeper. You have starting realizing you cannot control it. And it only happens when you're uncontrolled. Aha, very good. So more and more it goes into, even into your mind, your understanding, intellectual understanding, that there's nothing I can do. Then something relaxes. First, also, it always happens, not of your doing, it happens. But then the mind is so strong, the ego is so strong that it takes it. And then it wants to control it, it wants to hold on to it. And then I have this. The yogi syndrome. I have to protect my space. I'm very spiritual. I'm a very good sannyasi. I'm a very old sannyasin. Yeah, and a very dusty sannyasin. You have to be fresh. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with anything. But it has all to do with losing control, about disappearing, about humbleness. So this is, everybody will go through this. Wanting it to stay, but that I don't feel is the question now. Yeah, because you have seen that you cannot do that. And since again it happened, I invited you into the temple. No, something deeper is waking up in you. You remember, you feel, you are in it. And then, of course, many things just disappear by themselves because now your whole focus has shifted from little things to a big picture. That's what I call higher responsibility. If you're just functioning out of your ordinary mind, you will never understand that because you have so many responsibilities. But when you have a deeper realization, when you are connected with your heart, with me, then you will realize you have higher responsibilities. Then all the other lower responsibilities, it doesn't really care. And then, of course, other people who live on that level will call you irresponsible because you are changing. You don't take care. No, because now you have grown. You have listening to other higher responsibilities of your heart, of your soul, of your spirit, which people are not in touch with. Then they don't understand it. That's why it's bound to be always problems with people from the past, with your family, with your old friends. Because you are bound to change. Of course. Before you also were asleep. Now you start waking up. Then you have to change. And the second, you have to stand up for it. Before I was trying to control it, wanting it to stay. But that I don't feel is the question now, but more a curious question, what is happening? Why the mind or sleep comes back? Because of the habit. Because of the old identification. It's just you have to start recognizing it, which is what you're doing. And when you recognize something, then you can catch it when it happens. Because this is, again, the mind trying to understand what is happening, why the mind or sleep comes back. Don't focus on the mind coming back. Focus on that which is there. All the time. Your true self, your essence, is always at ease because it's untouched by any so-called problems. So when you have settled more and more in your true nature, then you are undisturbed by all the things that is happening or with your mind. But your ego mind, your personality, is always disturbed because it has to protect itself. It has to control. It has fear because it's not real. So it's always tense. The real can never be tense because it's real. It is. The mind, the ego, is not. So it's always on guard. So this is the dilemma for an enlightened one to talk from reality to lies and get you out of the lies into the real. out of your identification, out of your mind. Can you talk a bit about awareness or what keeps us here in the moment? I only talk about, I cannot talk of anything else. Whatever I do, I talk, I eat, I sleep, everything. And I'm not such a good talker, but in some way you feel something anyway. I'm not aware. They say just watching the master, just watching, observe. Anything that happens can be a teaching. But your mind has to be unpolluted, no? You have to also fall in tune with the moment. You cannot have any ideas. And people are always ideas. A master should be like this, enlightened one should be. What do you know about enlightenment? But this is how the mind is. Comparing even that. If you had been so extremely fortunate to meet somebody who is enlightened, and who is willing to talk to you, you should fall in tune. But you have fools also, no. Go to that master, go to that master. Mind comparing, instead of coming back to the source. When you left satsang, I started to cry in gratitude, in love. So, in that space, that is the space. No, when you started crying in gratitude, in love, and when you disappeared, and you felt it was so beautiful, which you didn't think about in the beauty, when you were crying, then was it anybody asking what is happening? No. That is the mind after us who is trying to figure it out. Then the mystery is gone. So this is the thing, you just have to be open to the moment. Because it can come any moment. In fact, it's there every moment. Just leave the mind outside. This is what a true master is. He's trying to teach you the art of disappearing, of melting, of crying in gratitude, in love. How can anybody make some sutras, scriptures about that? The technique of start crying in gratitude and love. What kind of technique is that? It goes beyond all technique. It's impossible to understand with the mind, but it's happening. And it's the most precious of the precious. It's the secret of secrets. That's why they cannot be talked or it cannot be written, but it is happening. I also heard that, no, you were very available and wanted to be available for anything. This is the outcome of it. No, you start seeing. When you are connected with that sacredness in you, then you just want to serve, you want to be involved. Because your very essence knows that this is it. Nothing else matters. Then surrender, devotion, service, it comes by itself. If you are not connected with that, then it's always me thinking about gain and loss, ideas, what I need. All that is gone when you are connected. Then you just want to come closer, you just want to serve. Otherwise it's me, my ideas. This is how it is. That's why now you can understand why I say you cannot do love, you cannot do grace, you cannot do surrender. You know, this is beyond you. You have to disappear. Then it happens, no? Then you have to get out of your own way. That's how it is. I wasn't finished with Bodhidharma, but I guess he had to wait. Because like he talked to his disciples, I have to talk to my disciples also. Which it doesn't matter if I talk to you, if I talk in his words. But he says, which I didn't manage to read yesterday or the day before. He says, whoever sees his nature is a Buddha. And whoever doesn't is a mortal. Over mortal nature is our Buddha nature. Beyond this mortal nature, there is no Buddha. The Taoist and the Chinese, they are always talked about the immortals and the mortals. The mortals is the ordinary people, the immortals, that has become like a fairy tale, a Taoist master, a saint, somebody who lives for thousands of years, walks on the clouds, walks on water. But that is just mind projection out of an ignorant mind. The immortal ones is the ones who have found themselves, because they are free. They doesn't live by the rules of the mortal ones. They are above them. So this is where it comes from. Not that they live for 1,000 years. That is the ignorant mind who is afraid of dying. I want to be immortal, I want to live forever. No, that is not how it is. The immortal saints that they are talking about is the one who realizes true self, his Buddha nature. Then you become immortal. Then you have the mortal ones, is the ordinary, the ignorant people, those who are asleep. And almost all the masters have made this division. Either asleep or awake. Either mortal or immortal. Either live in darkness or live in light. So, whoever sees his nature is a Buddha. And when you see your nature, then the little you disappears and you are in awe. And you are in beauty and you are in peace and you are at home. And you will cry of gratitude, of love. Because it's too much. It's too much beauty. And whoever doesn't see his own nature is immortal. Over mortal nature is our Buddha nature. He's saying that any mortal can become a Buddha because the nature is you. It's just above it. And most people don't do that work to go above themselves, to pull themselves up by the shoestrings. It's almost impossible. But it's possible, it's there. In every mortal being, you can become an immortal. But you have to wake up. And beyond this nature, there is no Buddha. He's saying everything is in this body. Everything is available. Just wake up. Just go deeper. And that is the only reason why the enlightened ones are talking or having satsangs or darshans or discussions, is to give those who are seeking, who have a little feeling that I want to wake up, to remind them that this is possible, to show them that it is possible. Otherwise, how can you believe it? It's too good to be true. The enlightened, the masters, is the proof that it's possible. That whoever sees his true nature is a Buddha. May everybody see their own nature and be happy. To talk about that which cannot be talked about. That is the art. That's why Bodhidharma was sitting 9 years facing the wall. What's the point of saying anything? But it was good he did. Jai Gurudev.
Jai Gurudev. Jai Gurudev. Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev. I am a pilgrim, the road so long. Song. Hell.